How to become time rich. Before we dive into today's episode, I want you to head on over to heatherchauvin.com/live and join our next live webinar. It's June 6th and the 13th. So I have two live dates for you if you cannot make one. Also, what I wanted to say is when I am teaching live webinars, there's a lot of doing. So create the space, bring your pen and paper, and head on over to Heather Chauvin, chauvin.com/live, L-I-V-E. How to become time rich for busy women managing people, raising children, and deeply desiring more from life.
Hey ladies, we're back today with another interview, and today I am interviewing Andy Furness. And I actually met Andy in a mastermind that we were participating in together, and I just fell in love with this woman. She's an online dating coach, and I just thought, I was like, listen, we need to have a conversation. And the conversation wasn't so much about, you know, if you find yourself as a single mother and or parent and you want to start dating again, how to do that. But it was more about, why do we get ourselves in these situations in the first place? Like, do we actually need to be in relationships? And if we are in relationships, do we need to be our partner's mothers? And it was really interesting having this conversation with Andy, because she openly talked about the patterns that she was consciously breaking in her marriage and, you know, in dating after that, also learning to take a stand and set really hard, clear, healthy boundaries where we're overgiving. And I think it's really, really important to have this conversation about giving and receiving, because I see it all the time in women, including myself, where we've grown up to give. And whether that is saying yes to something that we don't really feel excited about giving, or whether that is saying no to something and then sitting there with this tremendous guilt. The older you get, the more you, I think, start to set good, hard boundaries for what feels good and what doesn't feel good. But listen, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't get them to drink. And too many of us are not only leading people to water, or horses to water, but we're taking the water and we're shoving it down the horse's mouth. And the point of why I just said that is because in order to feel empowered and strong and energized and in alignment in your life, we need to stop babying other people and teach them how to wipe their own ass. So I'm really excited to have this conversation with Andy. You can check her out at her website at andifurness.com. That is spelled andifurness.com. She's half roller derby star and half veteran yoga teacher living in Austin, Texas. She shares her unique experience coming into the online dating, single at 41 with two young boys after being in a committed relationship for over 20 years. She admits that she had never really dated before she got married and entered the modern dating scene with the skills of a teenager. The lessons she's learned along the way have enabled her enabled her to finally create a fulfilling and fun relationship with a smart, generous, ambitious, spiritual, financially abundant, and sexy guy instead of a needy, hot mess, red flag that she dated for 6 years post-divorce because she didn't really know what she was doing. Andy helps women who are brand new to the online dating space who are scared to death to put themselves out there. She starts her clients with the foundational pieces of picking the right dating app, creating an online profile that expresses who they truly are, choosing the right photo to make sure that they stand out to attract the right guy, sending and responding to messages so clients don't get ghosted, preparing for the first date, and well as teaching women how to create chemistry with great guys and how to avoid the red flags. So regardless if you're single or married, if you're a woman and just want to feel abundant and alive, this is the interview for you. So excited to have you here.
Me too. Super excited.
Yeah, we've met a few times. We've met three-ish times.
Yes. We're coming on our year anniversary in October. Yes.
Speaking of anniversaries, I'm excited about this topic. But yeah, when we were chatting, I'm like, you need to come on the podcast. Relationships are huge. And it doesn't matter if you're married, if you're single, children, no children. We got some issues as women.
Absolutely. I still have issues. Yes. And I'm going to share some of them today that I've just noticed.
Awesome. Okay, let's dive in. I'm so intrigued by this conversation of overgiving and relationships and really cultivating and creating that connection. The whole concept of mom is in control is not about controlling. It's about how to feel in control of your life.
Exactly.
And that is really about how do you want to feel? And too often there's a huge disconnect from how we want to feel to creating that in our current reality. So how did you even get excited about talking about relationships?
Well, I got excited talking about relationships because I have had crappy ones up until probably 2 years ago. On the outside, they didn't look crappy, but on the inside, which was like my work and the way that I set up those relationships, they just were unfulfilling. And the only tool that I knew to use was to leave. And so I realized after leaving relationship, my marriage, and then subsequently leaving even more relationships, it wasn't until I had children that I realized, oh, wow, the same dynamic is happening, but I can't leave these people. So I realized I had to deep dive and do some really big internal work to figure out how I could be fulfilled in relationships.
I always say that. I'm like, your kids, children are personal growth on steroids, right? It's like totally. Parenting is, it's like, oh, if you were avoiding something, it's just going to come up again and again. And yeah, exactly. We have such a connection to our children that even if we want to create distance from them, we're always truly connected. And there is this sense of success or failure and all of that. So let's dive into, I know you and I were talking about before, overgiving.
Yes. Well, the deal was I was in a 15-year relationship with my ex-husband where I was overgiving, and it probably started even before them, but when, I guess the straw that broke the camel's back was once I had not one child, but then two children, like really fast. I was the one getting up at 5 a.m. I was the one like going to bed early and not having fun because I knew how to get up at 5. I was the one that was on, 24/7. My only tool, I was definitely overgiving in that mom role, that my only tool was to leave my marriage. And I didn't realize that, but it was really eye-opening to me after, I thought, okay, wow, now that I don't have this relationship anymore, everything's going to be okay. But I realized that I continue to overgive in every area of my life, even when I got rid of, and I'm putting that in quotes, I got rid of whatever was causing me, like my ex-husband. Like it was actually me that was overgiving, not only to my children, but also to like my job. And then I went out and started dating. I was overgiving there. I was overgiving to my friends. And I realized that that had to stop because I was exhausted and I was still like really resentful.
Can you talk about, I want to know your definition of overgiving. And then, one thing that comes to my mind is, do we have to leave our relationships?
Right.
Because I hear so many people be like, well, Heather, my reality is he or she, you know, partner won't do anything. I'm exactly. doing it all. So right. I'm curious your perspective on that.
Well, and I have like some real life examples because, so my definition for overgiving is when you're not giving freely, when you are wanting something in return is a sign to me that you are overgiving. And another sign is if you're exhausted all the time, you've got to be able to like step back and look. So I'm just going to give an example. So I'm in a relationship now and I got a text like last week that Kurt, my boyfriend, wanted to have a barbecue. And immediately I was like, and the reason is not because he wanted to have a barbecue, because he's like, he likes to bring the fun. He loves to entertain. But the reason was the last time we had a party, which was like maybe a month ago, I did like every single dish. I got there early. I did like a lot of the shopping. I did every single dish. I put every single dish away. And I realized that I got mad at him because I decided that I needed to do all of this. He didn't ask me to do all the shopping. He didn't ask me to do every single dish. He didn't ask me to put away every single dish, right? I took it on myself. And so for me, like as a really like a good barometer is if you're overgiving is if you're getting pissed off.
I love this. Anger and resentment is like sure symptoms that you are out of alignment.
Right. And so it was, and so I can say that he didn't stop me. You know, maybe like if he was like the super like evolved person or whatever, he would have noticed that like I was doing all the dishes, but he didn't. He was doing other things like around the house. And so last night it was, we made like this big dinner and he had a bunch of dishes like left over from like a past couple days. He's not like the neatest person in the world and he won't be listening to this podcast. So it's okay if I call him out,
but he listens to Mom in Control,
right? But last night I decided to change the dynamic instead of me. Cause I honestly like doing dishes or something like meditative for me, but I realized that I'm going to start getting resentful. I need to change this pattern. And so what I did for him, or did last night is there was like a sink full of dishes plus the dishes that we had used for we made. And I decided I'm not going to do all the dishes, even though I don't mind doing it. And even though he does other things, I want us to do this together. So what I did is I gave him a choice and I said, hey, I noticed it's getting late. I noticed there's a bunch of dishes in here. Would you like to just leave them? You know, we'll leave all of our dishes for like, you know, for whenever you want to handle it. Or do you want to do it together and we can just knock it out? And it was like, just such a, like a little shift. Like I didn't say like, you never help me with the dishes. I gave him a choice. Like we can have all these dirty dishes in here like a little bit more longer, or we can like knock it out together. And he's like, let's knock it out. And we did. We knocked it out together in like 5, 6 minutes flat. And that was me learning. So speaking of control, I needed to be okay with them being like dirty dishes there in the sink overnight.
Mm-hmm. This is too often what I hear from people. So sometimes even when they start, you know, of course, changing our patterns, we realize we've had decades and decades of conditioning and most likely we're picking up this conditioning from generations and generations, right? And our role and identity as women and who we're supposed to be and all of this fun stuff. So we're in the moment, we're feeling the discomfort of these dishes. And then I will hear people say, but I can't, I just can't, Heather. Like, you don't understand. I can't. Like, this is just who I am. And I always like say, but why are you here? Like, focus on the why. So what do you say to someone who's like, these patterns are so ingrained in me that I don't know how to change?
Then you change them. Like, you have chosen for it to be, like, you can choose any like avatar that you want. You have chosen and you've made a story that if you leave those dishes, you're XYZ person. Like you have, that's been passed down, that you're a messy person, that you're a slob, that you're gross, that like all the roaches are going to come in and take over your house. Like you have come to like that story that like, that if you leave dishes for 2 days, that you are XYZ person. And that's not true. I'm not saying like be a slob or whatever, but like if you've got an obsession or like a conditioning that is driving you to overgive, whatever that is, then that's something to look at. Like, what is that story that you have around that? And then you can change that story.
Do you think overgiving, or what's your perspective on overgiving and the core belief of not being enough?
I struggle with that not being enough thing a lot. I think that's a lot of people's like default to just say that. I really do think a lot of it is just conditioning and story. Like you have learned from your mom or your grandma or your, all the women in your world that like a person that like, you know, like I'll be honest, I grew up, my mom grew up in the South. So it's all about white trash, whatever. Like that's what like, you know, and so like, we're not that, you know, or whatever. You're not a slob. You're not like a person. Like it's, there's just a story around that. And so I don't really think it's a really about like not being enough. I think you have just been conditioned and trained that if you are not XYZ, for example, like another, so there's ways of overgiving. There's physical, like doing all the dishes for somebody or like running around doing errands, handling all this. And then there's also emotional overgiving. Like, so I find that like, so I was just with a client this morning and she was just telling me, we're trying to figure out why she is so exhausted so that she doesn't have time to date. I'm like, okay, well, it's like, what are you doing all week that like you're so exhausted that you do not have time to go date? Well, it turns out she has a friend that is in like the super drama with like her husband, and she's her friend's therapist. Even though her friend has a therapist, she's her friend's therapist, right? And so I was like, well, what happens if like you don't answer like your friend's text when she says, what do I do next? You know, when my husband does XYZ. She's like, well, then I'm not a good friend, right? So like right there is like another story that if you're not like constantly at your drama friend's beck and call helping her, then you're not a good friend. And that's not true either, right? Like all of these assumptions and stories are just stories that can be changed.
Yeah. I remember when I was sick and going through treatment, I was forced to stop. And one, then you start to realize who's really dependent on you versus who's going to be there for you when you need them. But what I noticed is after that, I started implementing really healthy boundaries and then challenging myself with them. Even this summer, my intention this summer was create space, be home. And how many people would say like, let's have a barbecue. Let's do this. Let's do that. And I was like, no, thank you. Like I was taking a stand and didn't want to put anything on my calendar that I didn't need to. If it happened organically and, you know, I had the burgers or whatever and they came over, that was fine. But I'm like, no, I don't want to put it on my calendar. And to hold those boundaries, the stories that were coming up, like you're a bad person. Like this is not how you treat people. They're going to think this. And I just sat with it, sat with the discomfort of your goal is to create space. Your goal is to feel this way. Challenge yourself to expand and grow. How do you expect to have capacity or recharge if you keep saying yes, 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 yes,
yes? Absolutely. And it's hard because, I mean, it's my birthday week this week and I have a lot of friends and a lot of people are wanting to do things with me and celebrate me. And I'm having to say no because I don't have time and I'm not going to, like my priorities are like, I'm doing something with my kids and my boyfriend and then my mom's kind of in there, but like my friends actually are lower. And then the one that wants to take me to like a massage, she gets a higher slot than like someone that wants to meet for coffee. Right. So it's like learning how.
Take me to the spa and I will hang out with you. That is an alignment for
me. Right. And so it's like that hierarchy of like friends. And I have a really good friend, speaking of overgiving and saying yes. So yeah, saying yes too much is overgiving. Even if people want to do something nice for you, it's not nice for you if it's causing you stress to try to figure out when to fit it in, right? Just say no. Say, thank you so much for the offer. I'm not going to be able to take you up on it, right? So I have a friend that's really good with that. Like she made, and I modeled it after her because when I was married, I put almost everybody in front of like my ex-husband. And I realized that was probably like a big part of like us growing apart. Like I put like friends like in front. I put activity, like kids' activities, like in front of like us. We had no like dedicated time together. And I decided on this next go around with my boyfriend, like he's going to be at the top. My kids are actually a little bit lower. My mom is like way down there. And then friends kind of fit in a little bit in the middle. Actually me, I'm at the top. He's next. You know, I need to check in and make sure that he and I have enough plans, enough like quality time. Okay, that's checked. How are my kids? They're teenagers. So there needs to be like a little bit of separation. I'm not, they're almost 18 and 16. So, you know, I'm not needing as much, but I got to make sure that I have quality time with them because that's important to me. My mom, I see her like once a week, and then friends just can kind of fit in after.
Yeah, I think it's really important that we need to know our priorities and actually our actions are in alignment with our priorities, because people often, their default is the excuse of like, I don't have enough time, but really that's just the symptom. So it's right. Like, look at it and go, why is that the case? So Andy, when you're working with somebody, you were talking previously about using online dating to help yes. you with this overgiving. So I'm really curious how that went.
Yeah. So I realized that, because I realized also I was doing it in my business. And so whether you're an online entrepreneur or a coach or even if working in corporate, right? Like I was overgiving there too, which is making me resentful. Meaning I would, you know, if a call is supposed to be 50 minutes, I would go to like 59 minutes and I wouldn't even have a chance to pee in between like different, you know, clients, or I would let their sessions go longer. Didn't hold like the container. So I was overgiving in terms of like support. And, Celine is the one that taught me, you can overgive, but do it in like smaller amounts, right? Like keep the container really small. And so I realized that I really needed to tackle this overgiving, because it was not only like in my business life, but it was also like in my dating life and my relationship life. And so I was like, where can I like practice this? Like I didn't know like when the next client was going to come, but I knew that I could go online, throw up a profile, and I could start practicing consciously dating to be able to see what I could ask for, because I really do. I come from like a martyr mentality, like don't ask for anything. Don't, you know, you handle everything or whatever. And so it became like really fun. And I was like, it was almost like kind of like a hit, like, oh wow, you can ask for that. Like, so like some of the things that if I had a date with a person, I would ask, like, hey, can you meet me? I'm like, I need you to meet me in my part of town versus me always wanting to make it be fair. Then I would take it a step further. Like I used to always be compelled, like, this is who I am, right? I'm an independent woman that can pay for my own stuff, right? So I started I started forcing myself to just keep my wallet in my purse, and I was not going to offer to pay. And it wasn't about like the guy, like, you know, it was more about me being uncomfortable, not making everything fair, not making everything equal, and seeing who was available for that. And like, and seeing like what, you know, kind of, if anyone said anything, nobody ever said anything. You know what I mean? It was like, I was always worried, like, what if they like assume that like I'm a gold digger, whatever, we're going for a cup of freaking coffee. And I'm not a gold digger. I mean, going for a $3 cup of coffee, but that was all in my head, right? And then I just kept going bigger and bigger.
I love this conversation. I keep thinking about so many times, especially in the parenting world, where there's this overgiving, and not just with your kids, but going to a birthday party or all of these things. And I used to be like, okay, these children are getting 50 gifts at once. Like we don't need to spend $50 to $100 on a gift. Okay. I don't need to throw you this extravagant party. Like get back to the basics of what truly matters. And when we're give, and then we're like, oh, I'm so angry and resentful. It's like, hello, pay attention. This is being angry, I will preach this for the rest of my life. Being angry, resentful, chronically fatigued, and overwhelmed is not your birthright. That is not your natural state of being. That's not your purpose in life. Those are side effects, like, and symptoms. Something is wrong. It's a red flag.
Absolutely.
So after the dating,
like app game. I don't want to say game, but like after you're like, ooh, I like this. I like this. What, how, when you were going bigger and bigger and bigger, what did that look like when you were starting to expand and test this over giving?
Well, then it became, more like on the emotional front. So it was like physical things like, yeah, what, and then it was like, is this person available for me to tell them what I need? Right. Versus, I used to be very, reticent to like share like what was going on with me or what I needed. And so even like on an emotional level, I like started just being able to say, hey, this isn't working for me. When XYZ happens, is it cool that we talk about it? So then I was even able to start asking for my emotional needs versus always like handling it like myself or, and then that was like super cool. And then I'm still working on it. Like I'm in a relationship now, but I still have to consciously, notice and check in. Like I said, I just did the whole thing at the party, right? And making sure that I'm not overgiving, because I do have a tendency to do that. And I don't think it's because, you know what? I don't think it's because I'm not enough. I actually think I'm like really smart and really multi-talented and really have a lot of energy. And I love doing like lots of different things. I think it's actually because I'm so awesome that I overgive. Like, I really don't think it has anything to do with like low self-esteem. Like I'm trying to like get anyone. I think I'm just really capable at like handling like lots of different things, but that doesn't mean that I should.
Ooh, I think this is a juicy conversation because too often, I know I fall into this trap too sometimes where you're creating this momentum in your life and you have an abundance, right? It could be money, time, energy. And then there's this slippery slope where you have to pay attention of, you know, I've worked for this. Is it in alignment with how I want to feel? So I have this desire to give, like give back. You know, I come from the social work world, which is very martyr.
Totally.
And like lack. So, but there's this like humanitarian in me that wants to be in it. And I'm like, but there is a fine a balance and line, right? So I have to be very, very mindful of that.
Yep.
I think that's a really good point. It's just because you've cultivated and created all this awesomeness in your life doesn't mean, again, you have to find yourself in the same pattern of give.
Exactly.
And angry and resentful.
May I share my GR quarterly assessment?
Yes.
All right. So I'm like a super like spreadsheet tech nerd or whatever. And so what I love to do, and I love charts. I have like, and you guys should just do this today, like get a piece of paper and make a T-chart and put on one side give and the other side receive. And just like as you would if like, let's say you were counting your carbs or whatever, right? Like, or counting your budget, like do this like every quarter, do it today. And I want you to write down all the ways that you are giving to people in your life. You can even put them in categories, like put your husband, your boyfriend, your date, whatever. Then I want you to put, you know, your kids, and then I want you to put your friends, and then I want to put your like things that are going on in business and family members. Like a lot of us are starting to have aging parents. They're going to need like some help, right? So it's like, go ahead and put these like the characters that are in your life and how are all the ways that you're giving? And I want you to go across on the other side and how are you receiving from them? You know, and then I want you to like start to look at that and then come up with ways to start to move some of those over into like the receiving. You might have to have some conversations, you know, that'll be like, hey, I noticed that I've been XYZing all of this stuff. And I'm feeling really worn out and drained. And I was wondering if you could help me get some of this stuff off my list. Like, what do you think that like, and if you go into it, like problem solving with people, they're willing to help you because they want you like at your best. I always like to think of it as like benefit driven. Like if mommy gets some of the stuff off her list, then I'll be more available to like go get snow cones like randomly. Or if it is your husband or your boyfriend or whatever, I'll be wanting to like have sex more because I'm going to be like all calm and chill and not like in super, you know, manic get shit done mode. Like make it benefit driven for the people that are in your life.
Yeah, problem solving is key because then if you get into the drama triangle and you're becoming angry and resentful, you're being the persecutor, they're going to be defensive and it just creates a bigger disconnect.
Totally.
So that was going to be one of my questions, is how do you start to integrate this? Because you're going to come up with roadblocks regardless. You're going to, they might have pushback of like, oh yes, I will, you know, help with the grocery shopping. And you're like, hey, here's the list. And then they don't follow through. Then what do you do?
I'm a huge believer in natural consequences. I really am. Like, so my kids, I have, cause it's summer and I have maybe like 6 things that I had them sign up for each month for them to like add on to get it to their allowance. And there's some big stuff. Like they got to get on the roof and trim some stuff and pull up the irrigation that's all broken. And they don't get their, like, they don't get their allowance until that's done. And for August. And so that's their eating out allowance. And we're at August 5th right now. I'm having to let go that needs to be done like on a certain timeline. And so if they choose to like not do that, then that's it. Then I, at some point, I'm going to make it clear, like this needs to get done. And if I need to hire somebody, then that's going to come out of like your future allowance. And it becomes like a conversation like that. Like, and so let's say someone doesn't get the grocery, say, hey, you agreed to get the grocery. So remember how I asked Kurt, I'm like, you have a choice, Kurt. Like, do you want to leave these dishes here for like another like couple days? Or do you want to like bang it out together? Same with the groceries. I like to give that person a choice. Like, so I need to get this done. So either I'm going to hire like a personal shopper and that's going to come out of XYZ money or you go do it. Which do you think sounds like the best, you know, use of our time and money?
Awesome. And I think it's a chronic coaching aspect. Like, we don't need to become the coach to these people, but we can be coachable, right? And I notice right. with children too, especially when they're growing up, and like, how serious is she? Which is, they're going to push your boundary, but which is why it's so, so important to stick to them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And for us to keep communicating what we need. So you were asking, I check in with myself. Like, am I angry? When I notice I get angry about something, I like 99% is because I'm overgiving, like in some area. And I've like literally tapped out and I've got to like step back and be like, okay, what's going on? So I pull out my GR my chart. Where am I overgiving? How can I get like some support?
I love this. I actually did, I do like a time freedom challenge, and I actually was writing notes on the chart. So I do column A, column B, same thing. What drains you? What lights you up? And if you're doing more of what drains you, you're going to be like, well, no wonder why I'm out of alignment, right? It's not working.
Totally.
So what was different for you when you started implementing this and you started seeing momentum? Like, how did it change not only your relationship with your partner, but every other aspect of your life, like money, time, right. overall totally. Energy and your health?
Well, that's it. Like, so I give another talk for like for female entrepreneurs, but it could be for anyone like in business, is that once I learned and I found, once I realized I was deficient in receiving, because I'm like you, I was a public school teacher in pretty large urban districts. I was also low socioeconomic, which meant we didn't have like tons of money. We had no money. Like, and so it was complete, like you said, like lack mentality. Like if we got like one free Subway sandwich the whole year, like we're like, woo, you know, like we had to buy our own supplies and the kids just, it was very, very much lack. So, you just said, wait, the question.
You were talking about how you do a talk for female entrepreneurs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's called A Good Romantic Relationship Will Increase Your Revenue. And so what I found was that once I started in one area of my life, it made a bridge to others. So then I had to look at, like, for my business, how was I overgiving to clients, right? And like really get clear in that. When I stop overgiving, guess what? I start making more money. When I like make sure that, and same with, okay, and also team members. I was like doing the same thing as I did with the dishes with Kurt. I was like, oh wow, they messed it up. I'm going to just handle it, right? So no. Now it's like, hey, so I asked you to do this task and there's all these errors in it and I'm not going to pay for it. Right. Like I had to kind of say that, like, I hired you to do this. This has all these, I was like, I was losing money with like team members as well. And so once I started like tightening things up and asking for what I want, like, I need this, I need you. Like, I had to have a really uncomfortable conversation with my VA. I was like, I need you to not make mistakes. Like, it, that needs to happen, right? Like, it needs to be perfect. Because I don't want to pay for errors. And if there are errors, then I'm not paying for you to fix them, right? And so like every like month, or if I, every time I was able to, because being laid back and be like, yeah, that's okay, people make mistakes, it was costing me money. And it was costing me time, like every time I had to like go review something. And so the more that I started doing that in like every area of my life, everything just got like so much better.
Because you were taking a stand for how you wanted to feel.
Exactly. And I'd never done it before. And I had to start literally with letting somebody buy me a coffee.
I love this. It all starts with one cup of coffee.
Right. And keeping my wallet in there and just forcing myself to not feel like a gold digger for a $3 coffee.
Mm. And the wallet represents so much. And if you guys can hear things in the backgrounds, because someone's here doing work, so this is life. But the wallet represents so much, right? Like reserving your energy, keeping it there, saying thank you, just sitting with the discomfort of receiving and learning how to do that. It's so beautiful. I wrote down a question and I'm very curious your perspective on this.
Okay.
Do you think overgiving actually serves the other person? So spending more time with a client, giving more to your partner.
No, you know, and I love this. I have this, like, imagine we're in a circle, right? So here we are, overgiving, overgiving, overgiving. We're actually denying the other person, A, either ability to, like, handle it, figure it out themselves, right? Or we're actually denying the other person to give to us. Like, we're assuming that we're the only ones that, like, we're actually being selfish. We're assuming we're the only ones that like to do things for other people, right? And so when we are constantly going towards someone, we're training the other person to, like, not ever come towards us and do things. And that makes this person feel bad too, because unless they're a total, like, narcissist or whatever, that, like, but you can vet that person out, right? By like, and that was another thing, is like, I kept finding myself in relationships with people that would, they would take so much from me because I was just giving, right? And when I stopped that, it was really easy. And I started asking for the cup of coffee, or asking, you know, just putting my wallet away and asking them to meet me halfway and asking them to make plans in advance. I was able to easily vet and get rid of the people that were going to just take, 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 and never give. Same with friends. Once I started putting boundaries on friends, like, they would ask like for support. I'd be like, gosh, you know, I wish I could, but I give all my time to my clients. Good luck with that. I'm sending you lots of love, right? It got those people that just wanted like all the free stuff from me just away.
Yeah. Too often, I know, you find yourself in this flow, especially when you're in the service industry. Like, I can be very, I can walk into someone's house. I'm not sitting there judging every thought that comes out of right. their mind. I'm like, I'm just going to be here and be present. But if I feel like I have to be on all the time,
right,
most likely you're not going to be getting a lot of my attention.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love this. So Andi, any last words of wisdom, or where can people find you? Like, what do you want them to know if they're like, crap, I know I'm a chronic overgiver?
Well, yeah. So I've got two things. If you are single, I've got a path for you to like, to start practicing this. Like, you can go online dating and use online dating as a personal development tool, like whatever it is that you're working on. I've got a guide called Dating Profiles That Attract Your Ideal Guy, but it's really just how to put yourself out there and how, because the reason you haven't been in a good relationship, or the reason that you're not having success online, is half marketing. You don't understand online marketing in the online world. And the other are just some personal development patterns that you've got. You overgive, you attach too easily. You're picking the guys that are just going to take from you. I'm raising my hand, 'cause that's what I was. And then for those of you that are in a relationship that want to start working on some of this personal development that needs to, like, in an action base. I have a group called Don't Mess It Up Chica, and it's for the people that I work with that get in relationships that need some guidance going forward and how to, like, have a conscious relationship with your partner. So I'm at Andi, A-N-D-I, Fornes, F-O-R-N-E-S-S.com.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you. I could talk forever and just, there's so many different topics to go into this, but I truly, what I've walked away with today is if something feels out of alignment, trust your gut and just know that you can get back in and get back in alignment. But whatever action you're going to have to take is most likely going to make you uncomfortable. I'm always advocating for that. Like, this is going to be uncomfortable. So thank you.
And get used to the discomfort.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Build that muscle.
This summer, I'm being incredibly intentional about community. My word for the summer is community and connection. And I just want to say thank you for being a longtime podcast listener, or maybe you're a new listener, and I wanted to celebrate you. And I wanted to create more connections. So what I've decided to do is do a merch giveaway. If you are unfamiliar, I have a merch shop on my store, so you can go check it out on my website at heatherchauvin.com. You can purchase anything you want. But what I'm actually going to be doing is I'm going to do a giveaway for my hat, my How Do You Want to Feel baseball cap, one of my journals, which is the Emotionally Uncomfortable journal, and my beautiful Myrrh mug, which is called Excited Shitless. Excited Shitless is when you take the leap and you're like excited about your next level, but you're also terrified. So go check out the merch on my store. But here is how you can dive into the actual giveaway. Go to Instagram and find me at Heather Chauvin, C-H-A-U-V-I-N. And right now I have about like 19 or 20,000 followers. So if you're finding someone else that doesn't have that, that's not me. And all you have to do is follow me to be entered into the giveaway, and then send me a private message that says giveaway. That's all you got to do. Go follow me on Instagram at Heather Chauvin, Chauvin. I think there's an underscore after that. Follow me and DM me giveaway. And what we're going to be doing in a few weeks is we are going to announce the winner, and then we will reach out to you in your DMs on Instagram, and we're going to ask you which item you want in the merch shop. Do you want a hat? Which color do you want? Do you want a journal? Do you want a mug? Do you want a signed copy of my book? And yeah, that's it. It's all about connection, community, and gratitude for me this summer. And I just want to say thank you for being a listener. Thank you for, you know, all the messages that I receive on Instagram and in email. I'm just here to help women thrive. And this is not an emotionally comfortable journey, as you know, hence the reason the name of the podcast. And in order to attract more time, more energy, more money in our lives, we got to take some emotionally uncomfortable action. So I'm right there with you on the front lines. And yeah, go follow me on Instagram and DM me. Giveaway.